Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I read a very interesting article the other day in the Cork Echo, and it was written by Anne Murphy, and it was a great story, but the story got my attention. It's such a sad and tragic story of a Cork mother speaking out for the first time after she'd lost not just but one, but all three of her sons to heroin. And she joins me on the line. Carmel Kidney, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall.
And before I start, my condolences. I have no understanding what it must be like for you as a mother to lose three of your adult sons in such a tragic way. So my condolences to you and your family. And I know you have six children altogether. So my condolences to you. And that, it must be horrific. I don't know how you're... It's obviously a living nightmare for you.
It is, absolutely. Living nightmare is the word, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back a little bit in time. You know, you have six children. How old are your other children, by the way?
Oh, the three I've left?
Yes.
Yeah. Louise would be, I suppose, about 37. She'd be the second elder.
Yeah.
So Alan would have been the first.
Yeah.
So he's 44 now. So 44, 45, 46. And there's a year then with Louise. So.
Right, okay.
Well, I have two daughters and one son left.
Well, Fergus, John and Alan, as we speak, are lying in a grave in St. Oliver's Cemetery. All, you know, young men who, when I say young men, all between, they all died with 3 years apart. And they all died from heroin. They were grown adults at the time. And can you remember going back, if we could go back a little bit in time, Carmel, what led them to that point? Or what led to that point where there was an addiction? I mean, less than 2 years ago, in 2016, Fergus died. John was the first to die in September 2014 at 37 years of age. And then Alan died in 2017 and he was 44. He was your firstborn, of course.
So, it was indeed.
Yeah. And I mean, were there problems throughout their lives in their teenage years? Were they mixing with the wrong people? How did they get involved in heroin?
Yeah, exactly. You said it all. Mixing with the wrong people, number one. They were at home, they were hard workers. All three of them worked in the same place. John Fergus, they were twins, as you know, and they were qualified boners, and Alan was the driver. You could say they were a family of a meat factory. That they'd done great. They were fantastic workers. Mm. When they were at home for years, when they left, they went on. Of course, it was time to move on to them, you know? And nothing did I least think that this was going to happen. And so they moved on to Bandontown. And this is what happened.
And did you know the extent of the heroin addiction that they had? Did you know the extent, or did you know how serious it was?
Absolutely not, and they didn't know themselves. When they left, it's like we said, the wrong company, the company they got into, whatever company they got into, they didn't have a clue about drugs or not a mindset, a needle. When I found that needle, like you read the article, when I found that needle here in a trash bin, when the last fellow was here with me, he stayed the night. I've never seen him after that. He was at the coroner's report for Fergus. And he was just, you know, he left the box, he went out the door. Obviously, to get more heroin that I didn't know. But when I actually, when I went to the bin, I didn't expect what I seen. And I see that black box and the yellow little leaflet. And I went and I got gloves and I looked. I could not believe it. You know?
And they had normal childhoods, you know, when I say normal childhoods, there was six children, so financially it was obviously a stretch for you because you had six children. So that's not obviously financially always very easy. But apart from that, reasonably normal childhoods?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. They were happy-go-lucky boys and
They were like a little team, so to speak, because the twins and Alan then, I suppose they're in and around the same age, well, close enough. They would have been like a team, I suppose.
Alan was the eldest, you see.
Yeah.
And Alan finished his schooling in London and came home because even though he finished all his schooling, he didn't get nowhere. So when he came up back to me, then he went working with the twins, you know? So they were happy. Their lives consisted of around me, work, come back, weekend, get paid here, ma'am, money to help ma'am, and then get ready, run for the shower, have their dinner, and go to meet their girlfriends, just like any normal boy that's happy.
And in 2014, when John died, of course, that came as a great shock to you. I can only imagine the despair and the grief. I mean, Alan and Fergus obviously were still alive at that point.
Absolutely.
How did they handle his death? I mean, was that not something to them that would have said, gosh, look what's happened to our brother. We need to do something. I mean, how did they handle that?
This is the tragic thing about it, yeah. I reckon when John died, because there was a needle found in John's nose, when they had found John, okay, Fergus was the twin brother. He was the very last to know about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Alan found them. They were all in the same place at that time. And he had to go and tell his twin brother. So you can imagine.
And that didn't work. I wouldn't say they handled the grief of that very well.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did not know. And then Fergus felt a bit. Completely.
So you think that I made his problem even worse?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It didn't help the situation. And as for Alan, definitely not, because Alan had to find Fergus then. He knocked at the door. He was ringing him. He got no answer. Come on, Fergus, open the door. Let me in. And the next thing, he rang the guard, and there was Fergus lying in a pool of blood, with blood coming out his ears. Guys, and you name it, and Alan never got over that.
So that led him down a very rocky road, and sadly, he died.
He died then. And there was nothing between himself and Fergus.
And how do you, as a mother, and I'll go to some of the other parts in a second, because I know at the time, obviously, from your point of view, financially, you couldn't even afford to have the lads in a funeral home because of your own financial situation. It was expensive for you and you couldn't do it.
No, I could not. I could not afford to do it. And that's being honest, because I had no one. I had no one. I had no help. I had no one. I had to see one coffin coming in my door, then another one coming in my door, and then another one, where I laid them out.
In the space of 3 years?
Absolutely.
Three of your sons?
Yes.
I don't know how, every day must be just like a nightmare for you.
It is.
And I don't know how you deal with that. I know my own mother lost one son, and I know the devastating effect that had on her, my 24-year-old brother, when he died. So I can only imagine what it must be like for you to lose three sons in the space of 3 years. That must have been awful for you.
It was dreadful. To lose one, even like you were saying there yourself, your man, even to lose one, that never goes. And your man will tell you that. But to lose another one and another one, and I'm sure your man likewise knows the expense. I had to lay them out in the front room. I could not afford to put them into a funeral home. I couldn't afford, people had big ceremonies for them. I didn't have none of that, you know.
Yeah.
And left with debts. I'm on my own. I do cry a lot. Thinking about it, worrying about them, and worrying about the death.
What sort of effect has their death had on the other children as well, I suppose, because they would have seen that happening?
Absolutely. It left a devastating blow on and my daughter Sarah, and on my only, I have one son left who is absolutely terrified about needles. Absolutely so scared.
Well, maybe that's a good thing that he's terrified of them and scared of them, because it'll stop him from ever going down that rocky road, and he's lost his three big brothers. Yeah. You know, so that certainly won't lead him down the wrong road. I'm very sorry to hear your story. It's a dreadful story. Now, the reason I wanted to talk to you about it and ask you about it is, of course, that you've spoken out in relation to injection centres. Now, I know that the planning permission for the one in Dublin has been refused in Merchants Quay, but that doesn't stop them. They'll apply to have it somewhere else, and probably in Cork and Limerick and Galway as well. Do you agree with the idea of these injection centres where lads like Alan, like Fergus, like John could all go and inject themselves safely in an injection centre?
No, nothing is safe. I do not agree with that, Niall. Absolutely 1,000% I do not agree with it, because I know what I've seen. They inject their toes into their toes, every vein in their body, and it interrupts their brain. They can't function right. And if this continues, if they do this, it's going to bring a lot of harm to a lot of mothers and fathers and everywhere. It's going to get all out of hand.
In other words, what you're saying is you believe that by having injection centres, we're almost suggesting we're giving heroin the green light.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're saying what they're doing is, here you are, here's your needle. And in again, Niall, here we have the dealers, right? We have the dealers now, remember, too. So the dealers will give them the stuff, right? Bang away now. Mm-hmm. So in actual fact, when they come out of that centre, okay, if that does happen, which I'm here to say it shouldn't happen, they're going to be banging up outside then. And you have the likes of people who live near them. You have needles thrown around, and this is the situation.
Well, look, all I can say to you is my condolences to you once again, and thanks to those, by the way, who helped as well. It would be wrong of me not to mention people like Tony O'Brien, who crafted the headstone for you as well and helped you out at a time of need, and other people who donated as well and helped you out.
They didn't really donate that much. They was in the kitty. I think it's because, like, Niall, I'll get this through to you, Niall, as you mentioned it. There was €500 put into the kitty.
Yeah.
That's what was put into the kitty. And that was it.
Sorry to hear that. And I know you were kind of very strapped at the time, certainly for cash, and you wanted to bury your sons with dignity, of course.
Yeah.
And I know that you were very grateful to the Dublin businessman, Tony O'Brien. From Irish Crafted Headstones, who actually went there and sorted that out for you and donated a headstone for the grave.
He donated the headstone from Dublin, but there's a lot of debt in the coffers that they're giving out needles, paying for needles, when I could have been helped, you know? And that is very, very sad for me. I have to live with it every day.
And how are you right now? I mean, how are you living with that? Are you coping with it well enough? I know it's still very raw. 2017 was obviously the last passing that you had. So how are you now? Are you dealing with it okay?
No, I cry about it, but I look at the photos of my boys here in one room, and this room I live in, and if I don't watch television that often since they died, but I do pray a lot for them. I know they're happy now. I am glad that they're not here now, that they're in a better place, because things are not going to get any better, you know?
I know, I understand. Well, look, I wish you well, and I wish you well personally too, Carmel, and I hope that you can, I know you never ever get over something like that, but time is a good healer, and time maybe helps you to deal with things a little bit better as well.
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed, Carmel, for talking
to us. Very, very
nice. And if it helps one person listening today, maybe who
hopefully is in an addiction. God, I hope that there'll be no needles come along here and no, because it's going to get all out of hand now. It's been lovely speaking to you.
You too.
And goodbye and God bless.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.